Happy Tuesday, everyone. This is Dawn Ireland, President of CDH International. And this week, we are coming to you with the story of a family from across the pond over in the UK. Demi Hintz is going to share the story of her son, Louis. Tracy Meads, our wonderful president of the support division of CDH International, is going to do the interview.
Hello. Today, I am here with Demi, and she is from the United Kingdom. Demi, would you like to introduce yourself? Tell me a little bit about yourself and what family life was like before you heard the word CDH.
Yeah, so I'm Demi. I'm Louis's mum. I fell pregnant with Louis in 2018. I think it was 2018. And at the 20-week scan, that's the first time we heard the word CDH. And obviously, I had no idea what that was. So they were scanning me and they were taking a long time. So I said, like, what's the matter? And I knew Louis were alive because I could feel him moving. So I knew like nothing like that had happened, but I knew something wasn't right. And the lady said, I need to go out the room to get to have a conversation and bring someone else in. So then I knew something obviously wasn't quite right. Then the next sonographer came in the room, and then that's when they said diaphragmatic hernia, you know, it's CDH. So of course I was like, well, what's that? What does that involve? And they said, like, baby's going to be poorly when he's born and he'll need operation. And obviously all sorts goes through your mind, and it was so much information thrown at me. And they offered a termination, and obviously we said we didn't want that because, you know, Louis had a chance, and even if it that 1% chance it had, we'd give him that chance. So we got referred to a specialist hospital to see a fetal medicine doctor.
Right.
The next week when we got the news. So we went there, and that's when they told us Louis had a 60% chance of survival. So we thought, oh, well, this is good. You know, that's quite a big number. It's a good chance. So obviously we said, yeah, we can continue with the pregnancy, and we had close monitoring then. We had, I think it was scans every 2 to 3 weeks to check that nothing else had gone up into his chest area. But yeah, that's really how I found out about CDH. And then obviously you go onto Google and you're researching and Facebook, like looking for groups. And I've got a friend actually whose little girl survived, and she's 3. Yeah, she's 3 now. And I still talk to her now. And I've also got another friend who I met through CDH. She lives about 10 minutes away from me. And her daughter Ellie sadly passed away just before Louis did. So she's helped me a lot. It's quite difficult, like, when people can't understand what it is. And when you say a hernia, it obviously it doesn't sound like it's a bad thing, but
right.
Yeah.
Right. Did you have any pregnancy complications at all?
I had polyhydramnios with him, so I had too much fluid. I got really big. So then I were having like a lot of, Braxton Hicks contractions, and I ended up getting blue lighted to Liverpool St. Mary's because he thought Louis was trying to make a grand entrance at 35 weeks. But it was all the fluid, we think. They gave me a lot of medication, like through like tablets and drips to try and stop him from coming. And obviously that did work. And they were born at 37 weeks in Manchester at St. Mary's, where all our care was originally. So,
okay.
Yeah. Really, I had some reduced movements and stuff. And obviously we get them checked out, but nothing out of the ordinary other than the polyhydramnios. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very big.
What was the delivery day like for you?
It wasn't a great delivery. Forceps I had with him, he got stuck. So, yeah, unfortunately, I had forceps. It was quite traumatic. I can't really remember about the birth, but my mum were there, and obviously my husband. And from what they say, it wasn't very nice.
No, so, it doesn't sound like it.
No, I mean, he was born alive, and he didn't cry at birth. He tried, but like he couldn't get any noise out. I'm guessing that's because of the small lungs he had, and he really struggled to intubate him. I remember watching them from my bed. I would watch him on the other side of the room trying to intubate him, and they just couldn't get it down for a while. Eventually they did, and then I got to see him probably about 3 seconds and they whisked him off to the NICU. So then I didn't see him till he was about 5 hours old because I were unwell. My blood pressure kept dropping. And every time I stood up, I felt like I was going to pass out. So, yeah, I didn't get to see him for a long time, which wasn't nice. But, and then when I did go and see him, it was a massive shock because, like, my baby's in an incubator and all these wires and beeps. And he had the oscillator machine at this point. So his little ear was shaking. And I was saying, why is he having a fit? You know, I didn't know. I mean, I am a nurse myself. I'm an adult nurse, but I've never experienced neonates, never seen anything like that, so it was a shock. Not nice. Yeah.
Was your husband able to stay with Louie at the time?
Yeah, he were with him when they'd done all Louie's x-rays and what have you. Then he got invited to go there, so he went, and then he kept coming to check I were all right. But Louie's consultant kept coming, keeping me updated as well, so that were good. But every time he came to us, it was just bad news, more bad news, like he wasn't doing very well and he had a puncture in his lung from the oscillator machine. And I just knew then, I thought, oh, you know, it's game over now. We just knew. And he lived for 17 hours and they were trying to get him on a transporter to take him to another specialist hospital where they have the ECMO machine, because he qualified for it. But unfortunately, where we are, they didn't have that machine. Mm-hmm. So he needed to be transported. But every time they picked him up, his obs would go off. So he's not stable enough to move him. So I ended up, like, they tried a good few times and I was sat watching in my chair and I said, just leave him. I said, he doesn't want to go. So then we had to obviously have a conversation in a private room with his consultant. And that's when they said, like, we can't do anything else for your son. We can make him comfortable and that's about it. They tried everything. Yeah, it was really traumatic. It just, everything happened so fast. And I just knew, even in my pregnancy, I did have a feeling that it wouldn't end well, but you have to carry on, haven't you? And just give him that chance. Right. Unfortunately, he worked strong enough to make it for that ECMO. I mean, I don't know if ECMO would have made a difference, probably not, but at least then we could have said we'd tried something else for him, but he just didn't. Every time they moved him, he just kept dropping his vital signs, so we just left, you know, we said leave him alone kind of thing. Okay. Yeah. So then we got taken to like a family room and they wheeled Louie in the incubator. And then they like handed him to us, and then that would, you know, just let him peacefully go. Yeah.
Right.
Was all the family were there, but we were on our own when like Louie were dying. Like, we just wanted to be on our own room, and the family were in the other room. So, yeah.
I am so sorry for your loss of sweet Louie.
Yeah. Weren't it? That's my husband.
Hello.
So, yeah, it was traumatic. And obviously, like, we miss him every day. I mean, we've since had Evelyn, his baby sister. She's 1.5 now. So, obviously, she's helped a lot. And we've got his two older brothers who we adore. And, you know, they've helped us when we found out about his CDH and when he passed, kept us busy, you know.
Right.
We're hard trying to, I mean, Freddie, our middle one, he didn't really understand it. We're too young, but Dylan, our older child, obviously understands what death is and stuff. So that was quite hard because he never got to meet Louie. So it was quite hard to tell him that he's not here anymore. And yeah.
Do you do anything for Louie's birthday or his angel date? Do you?
His bed's lovely. We always keep good care of his bed, and when it's like say Halloween, we do him up all Halloween, and his birthday he gets balloons. And yeah, I'm hoping to do one day a skydive. So get some sponsors and do a skydive in his memory. And I do try and keep his memory alive as much as I can, and I will talk about him. But sometimes I worry that people might feel uncomfortable, you know, if I bring it up. So,
well, I think it's important to share his memory and to share his life.
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, CDH isn't well known. And if you think about it, it's quite common. Like, yeah, you see all these people on the Facebook pages of their children. It's a lot of people on there, you know, where they have CDH. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Did you approach your pregnancy with your daughter differently, knowing that there was complications with Louie? Yeah. That did you have extra tests or did you have extra questions for the doctors?
Well, we didn't really know anything. I think we went to fetal medicine at 16 weeks in Manchester, where we saw them for Louis. And they did a full check then, and they said like a diaphragm was full and didn't look to be any abnormalities with her. Obviously, you're on pins, aren't you? Because you think, well, we do know CDH can get missed on a scan, like you see that happen. So then you're thinking, what if they've missed something? But luckily, obviously, she's fine. Like, she hasn't got any CDH or anything like that. Yeah, she's healthy and fine. Yeah.
What type of advice would you give to a CDH family that's just starting out on a diagnosis with CDH?
I'd probably say try not to Google too much. I think maybe I've been Googling too much and I scared myself. And yeah, like my husband just said, it puts all sorts in your head and scenarios. And just, I guess it's up to the parents what they want to do. But I'd say, you know, give the baby a chance, because there are ones who were worse off than Louis that do survive. It's just unfortunate that I think the puncture in his lung didn't help. And I think maybe if that didn't happen, we might have had, you know, we might have had a better chance. But you just, you think all these things, don't you? Try and think of like why it happened and why our child. So you come up with these things in your head as to why it could have happened. But really, that's just the way it's life's panned out to be for us, I guess. I mean, it's, you know, you have to get on with your life and everything, but we still, every day we think about him, and yeah, it's hard, but carry on for the children that are here and
right.
Give them the best life that we can. Yeah. And we always talk about Louis. I mean, the boys talk about him all the time and they like to go to his graveside. And yeah, and we got pictures up around the house as well of him. So, yeah.
That was a beautiful picture you sent with him. He was adorable. He was very cute.
Yeah, very cute. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. He was quite a big boy, to be honest. Say he was born at 37 weeks. He were, 7 pounds 2.
Oh, very good size.
Big boy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, his sister looks just like him, like when she was born. They just look like each other, yeah. Yeah. So when Louis passed, we got a puppy. He's not such a puppy now, he's a big boy. Milo, come here. Milo, come here. This is our Milo. So we got Milo.
Oh, he's cute.
So he's nearly 3 now. So, yeah, he helped us.
Yeah, I bet he does.
He's crackers, but, yeah. Yeah, he's a lovely dog.
Do you guys advice on raising awareness and how important it is? Do you guys participate in raising awareness over there in the UK?
I mean, like, I'll post about it, and like, if people ask me about it, I'll... you know, I'll tell them what it is, and how Louis was, and yeah, I try my best too. I mean, I've not done any like fundraising or anything yet. I did plan to, but then COVID happened, so
right.
Yeah, so hopefully in the coming years then we can maybe do some sort of fundraising in his memory.
Do a skydive, please let us know. We would love to share and raise awareness right alongside you.
Yeah, I really fancy doing that. Yeah, definitely. It's finding the time at the minute as well, because obviously I'm back at work now. So, yeah, hopefully maybe in the summer.
Okay. Yeah, we'll keep us posted on that. We would greatly appreciate to raise awareness alongside of you and Louis's memory.
Yeah, definitely. I will do.
Do you have anything else you would like to share with our listeners today?
I don't really, what would you like me to talk about? I don't really know.
If there's just anything in general about CDH that you want our listeners to be aware of, or...
Well, I don't know if it's just people that know about CDH that listen, but obviously diaphragmatic hernia is a bit more than just a hernia.
Right.
A lot of complications with that, isn't there? You need a big major operation and it can re-herniate and yeah, I mean, we don't...
How did you go along sharing that information with your family?
When I found out about it, well, I were at work, actually. So I said to my boss, I said, I'm just going down for my scan, because obviously I work in the hospital. I'm going down for my scan. I'll be up soon. I won't be long. It's just a quick check. So obviously I were hours down there. So I plucked up the courage to ring up and just say, there's a problem, I'm not going to be back yet, I will come back up soon, you know. And then I thought, I need to ring my mum. Now my mum were at work and she works in a school, so she can't have a mobile phone on her while she's in school. So I rang the school office and I said, I need to speak to my mum immediately. And they went and got her from the classroom. And yeah, I just broke down on the phone. And then of course she's breaking down, because at this point we didn't really get given much information until we got told we had to wait till we went to a specialist hospital to find out more. We just knew it was bad, not good news, you know. So that day I didn't go back to work. I went and told my boss what had gone on. And then obviously I went off sick then, because it's a lot to take in.
Right.
For about maybe, I think maybe 4 weeks I had off. And I thought, right, I'm going to go back to work, you know, keep my mind busy. But even when I told my boss, like, she started crying, and I still remember it so well, like it was yesterday. It was just something unexpected when you've had, like, two healthy children, and you don't expect them to say something's wrong. And
right. Yeah. How old are your boys?
So Dylan's turning 9 in August this year, and Freddie's turning 6 in September.
Okay.
So, growing up fast.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, but yeah, you don't ever think, oh, what if there's something wrong? I mean, people always say, oh, we've had the 12-week scan, everything's fine, and that's how I looked at it before we found out about Louis. But really, you're not fine until that baby's born, because anything can happen, and I think you're quite naive when it's not happened to yourself before. And you think everything's going to be fine. Yeah.
Right. Well, Demi, I thank you so much for taking your time this evening and sharing a little bit more about Louis and your journey with CDH and sharing his life with us. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's been nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Demi. And thank you so much, Tracy. The story is just, it just tugs at your heart so much. It's has to be so hard to share the stories of our children who have lost just so recently. And I watched this family on social media go through pregnancy and birth and his death and the funeral, and it just broke my heart. It just broke my heart. And we so appreciate every story that is told here at CDH International, but we especially appreciate those stories that we know are so very hard to share. So thank you so much, Demi, for sharing your Louis with us. We really appreciate you, and we appreciate being a tiny part of the journey that you've had with CDH. So if you would like to share your story with CDH International on our radio show, on our telethon, on our blog, and all over social media, please go to www.cdhi.org/share your story, and we would love to share your journeys as well. Thanks again, everyone. Thank you, Tracy, as always, for all the hard work you do here at CDH International, and we will see you all next Tuesday. Bye bye.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Yeah! Stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up.